It was a Tuesday in October, and Andre was flat on his back with a fever of 102. He runs a little community center, the kind of place where kids come after school, older folks drop in for coffee, and the neighborhood's quiet problems get sorted out over folding seats. Andre is the best kind of person. He shows up, he remembers names, he holds it all together. But that Tuesday, he couldn't even sit up. And here's what happened at the center without him. Nothing. The after-school kids waited outside in the cold until someone finally thought to call it off. The Monday night group just didn't meet. A family in a tight spot who needed help that week. Nobody knew to check on them because only Andre knew they were struggling. He was back in 4 days. But those 4 days showed him something he'd been too busy to notice. He wasn't holding the center. He was the center. And when one person is the whole thing, when the role of caring and connecting and keeping track lives only inside one head, that's not strength. That's a single point that can break. This episode is about what it looks like when a center finally stops being one person's job. Before we go further, let's name the thing, because holding the centers is one of those phrases people nod at without stopping to ask what it means. The center is a role. It's not a title. It's not a particular kind of person. It's a set of things that have to happen for a group to stay together. Someone keeps track of who's struggling. Someone makes sure new people feel found. Someone holds the memory of the group so it doesn't lose the thread of what it's supposed to be. Those jobs can be done by anyone willing to show up for them. And that's the piece most natural holders miss. They feel the weight of it, and they assume the weight is personal. That it belongs to them because they're the one who noticed it, or the one people come to, or the one who cares most. That caring most is not the same as being the only one who can do it. The center is a role, not a person. It can rest on many shoulders. In fact, it's only really safe when it does. So if the center is a role and it can be shared, why don't holders share it? This is worth sitting with. Because it's not laziness or selfishness on their part. It's usually one of three honest fears. The first is, nobody else will do it right. And here's the hard truth about that one. Sometimes that's true. But more often, it means nobody else will do it my way. Those are not the same thing. When you confuse them, you end up carrying everything yourself and calling it standards. The second fear is, if I hand it off, people will think I don't care. That one is backwards. Handing a real piece of the role to someone else is one of the most generous things a center can do, because you're giving them the gift of being needed, of mattering, of belonging in a deep way. And the third fear is the quietest one. If I'm not the one holding it, what am I? Holders get their sense of worth from the holding. The thought of sharing it can feel like disappearing, but a center who shares the role doesn't disappear. They multiply. You go from one person doing everything to many people each doing one thing well, and the whole group gets stronger than it ever was when everything was riding on you. Now I want to sit with the real pushback, because it's smarter than the three fears, and you might be thinking it. What if you hand a piece of the role to someone, and they drop it? What if the group actually suffers because someone else was carrying something and they didn't take it seriously? That's a fair worry, and I'm not going to wave it off. It happens. People agree to things, and then life gets in the way, and the thing falls. Here's what I'll say, though. First, when you are the only one holding it and you drop it, because you get sick, because you move, because you burn out, the whole thing falls with you. When five people are each holding a piece and one of them drops their piece, four pieces are still being held. The math works better with more hands, not fewer. And second, the way you know you can trust someone with a real piece is that you give them a real piece and watch what happens. There is no other way to find out. You can't know who will hold something until you hand it over. most people, when you give them a real job and really let go and really trust them to do it their own way, will surprise you. Not all of them, but enough, and the ones who don't, now you know, that's not failure. That's the whole point of sharing it across many people instead of gambling everything on one. Here's something that jumped out from the studies on groups that stay together over a long time. When researchers looked at what separated the groups that held, the ones that kept going for years, from the ones that fell apart, it wasn't the quality of the leader. It wasn't even whether people liked each other. One of the strongest patterns was this. In the groups that lasted, the caretaking was spread around. More than one person was doing the looking after. And the people in those groups reported something interesting. They felt closer to each other, not just to the person in charge. Because when you're trusted with a real piece of something that matters, you're not a guest anymore, you're part of it. That's the quiet reason a shared center is stronger in two ways at once. It lasts longer because it doesn't depend on one person. And it pulls people in deeper because the work of holding it is itself the thing that builds the bond. So let's go back to Andre. When he got up from that fever, he did something that went against every instinct he had. He called three people. Not to tell them what had gone wrong. Not to ask for help with his own load. He called them to give them something. He said to the first one, "Her name was Carla. You're the person who always notices when someone new walks in and looks lost. I've been doing that job in my head, but it should be yours. Would you take it?" Carla looked at him for a long second and said, "I've been doing it anyway. I just didn't know you saw that." He called Marcus next. "You know every family in this neighborhood by name. When someone's in a tight spot and I need to know, can I make that your call?" Marcus said yes before he finished the sentence. And he called Teresa, who'd been running the Monday night group out of her own pocket sometimes, just to keep it going. He said, "That's the center's job, not yours. What do you need to do it right?" She told him three things. He wrote them down. Now picture what happened to the jar. Before, Andre's jar was the only one in the room, and everyone was drawing from it. After, there were four jars. Carla was watching the door and dropping something into the group's jar every time she spotted a lost face. Marcus was keeping the thread of who needed what. Teresa was holding Monday nights, and the jar between her and that group got richer every week. And Andre's jar, the one that had been running dry for years, started getting things put back into it. Here's the thing that was easy to miss in Andre's story, and it's the part that makes all the difference. He did not call those three people because he was tired. He did not call them to lighten his load. He called them to give them something. That's the turn. When you hand someone a real piece of the center, not a task, not an errand, but an actual piece of the role of caring for the group, you are giving them one of the rarest things in a person's life. You are making them needed. Think about what that actually means. Being needed is not the same as being used. Being used means someone takes your effort and gives you nothing back. Being needed means the group would be worse without you specifically, that there is a gap only you fill, that your showing up matters. People are quietly starving for that. The friend who makes sure new faces get spoken to, she's not doing a chore. She's the one who holds the door open for belonging. The neighbor who knows which families are quietly struggling, he's not a manager. He's the one who keeps nobody falling through. When you name that and hand it to them and step back, you're not letting go of the center. You're multiplying it. And the jar. Your jar, the group's jar, gets heavier with every piece you give away like this, not lighter. Before you decide this is a nice idea that only works for people like Andre with a formal community center to run, I want you to notice that you have already seen a shared center work. Think about a group of friends that actually stayed together across 10 or 15 years. Not just stayed in the same city, actually stayed woven together, the kind where somebody still calls when life goes sideways, where there are inside jokes from 15 years back that still land. In most groups like that, if you look closely, you'll find that more than one person has been quietly carrying a piece of the role. One friend who always makes sure the group gets together at least once a year, no matter what. One who remembers whose birthday matters, whose kid is struggling in school, who just lost their dad. One who calls people back into the group when they drift away without making a big thing of it. They might not call it a role. They might not even know that's what they're doing. But they're each holding a thread, and together those threads hold the whole thing. That's what a shared center looks like in real life. You've almost certainly been inside one at some point. This is just the part where you stop leaving it to chance. All right, let's bring this inside to your own life. Because a story about Andre stays a story about Andre until you ask the harder questions about yourself. So three of them. And actually sit with each one. Don't rush to the next. First, where in your life are you the one post roof? Where are you holding something that would stop if you stopped? In your family, your group of friends, a community you're part of. And be honest here, do the people around you even know you're holding it? Because sometimes the most alone a center can feel is when nobody around them can see the load. Second, is there someone in your life who's already doing a piece of it? Quietly, without a name or a thank you, like Carla at Andre's door. Could you name what they're doing, hand it to them on purpose, and say, "This is yours, and it matters"? That act of naming is not a small thing. It's the move that turns someone from a helper into a holder. And third, is there a piece of the center you've been gripping because handing it off feels like losing something? Sit with that one. Because the piece you're gripping tightest is probably the piece that's keeping someone else from belonging in a deeper way. The jar between you and them gets heavier when you let that piece go, not lighter. So here is your one thing this week. One thing, small and real and specific. Think of one piece of the center you've been holding all by yourself, in your family, your circle of friends, your group, wherever you hold things. Then think of one person who's already doing it in small ways, or who you think could hold it. Not someone you're guessing about. Someone you've actually watched show up. And then do what Andre did. Don't hand them a task, hand them a role. Call them or sit with them and say something like, "I've noticed you're the one who always does this. I think it should really be yours. Would you take it?" Then let them do it their way. Not your way, not checked on every week. Their way because it's theirs now. That's the give. You're not giving your time or your money. You're giving someone the gift of being needed, which is one of the rarest and best things one person can hand to another. And when you do, something else happens that you won't expect. The center gets lighter in your hands, not because you dropped it, because now more hands are under it. So that's how a center stops being fragile, not by gripping tighter, not by trying harder. By spreading the holding across many shoulders, naming the pieces that need carrying, and giving them to people who are willing. And then trusting them to hold their piece their own way. The center is a role. Anyone willing can hold part of it. And the jar between you and the people you share it with gets richer every time you give a real piece away. One piece this week. One person you've already watched show up. Hand it to them. One episode left, and it goes all the way inside, to the smallest center there is, just two people, and what it takes to hold that well. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you for the last one.